In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you on this very special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday. Well, you know that, of course, we've been talking about this month. June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so we had the celebration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so we wanted to make sure that we covered that. And then we had the Beacon of Truth playlist episode yesterday. And today, you know, we're going to look at the readings for this Sunday, which is the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, you know, I guess it's amazing to me how quickly this month has just flown by. You know, it's just, summer's here. I'm loving the weather, the longer days, except, of course, my allergies, which, you know, hay fever is very prevalent this time of year. So, but, you know, I'm willing to take that for these longer days in this beautiful weather. And so, Word of God Wednesday, grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And of course, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And, you know, hopefully you're having a great summer. And hopefully you're, not forgetting that even though it's summer and a lot of people are on vacation, you don't take a vacation from your faith. Right. So hopefully this special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday will inspire you to delve into the reading. So when you're at Mass, you know, that's why we do these Word of God Wednesdays. You know, we want to take a look at the reading so that you're not hearing them for the first time and that you're really thinking about them. You enter more deeply into God's Word when you're at Mass. You're not just like there listening to the readings. You're actually engaging God's Word. And that Word is helping to prepare your heart and your mind and your soul to receive the Lord again, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. So in a sense, there's a double feeding at every Mass. And so hopefully these Word of God Wednesdays have been helpful for you as you continue to journey on your faith walk with the Lord. And as we break open God's Word, we can understand how God is speaking to us in and through that Word, of course, that became flesh and dwelt among us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, would love to hear from you. Let us know. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Would love to hear your thoughts about the readings as well. So I'm having a pretty good summer. This is actually, for me, a pretty light summer as with regard to travel. Usually I do a lot of international travel overseas since usually in the other hemisphere. It's winter there now. And so just like for us in the northern hemisphere, you know, it's our busy catechetical time. Our fall is our, in winter is our big catechetical time. You know, kids are back in school. Faith formation programs have started up again, you know, late August, early September. OCIA, those kinds of things. And the same is true for our counterparts in the Southern Hemisphere, except that's happening now because this is their fall and winter season, their busy time of year. But, you know, this year, you know, I'm not traveling as much overseas as I usually do, which is pretty good, you know, so this allows me more time to prepare myself for the doctoral program and, you know, kind of, you know, get myself prepare for that, is doing some outlines for my thesis, getting my language, diving more into that so I can prepare for my comps. And, you know, so it's actually been a pretty blessed time. And I'm grateful for the extra time to be home as well. And I get to spend more time with all of you, which I absolutely love. So again, special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday. You know, some great readings to reflect on and to think about. Faithfulness to God. That's kind of the overarching theme. Faithfulness to God. And what is getting in the way of our being faithful to God? What are those the busyness and the distraction in our lives that are kind of pulling us away or taking our minds and our hearts away from our focus. Our number one focus should be a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Very excited to dive into this. And I'm also very excited because of the crew that helps bring you this show each and every weekday. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, Matt Gabinski, who typically screens your calls, and our producer, of course. And although this is ordinary time, this is a man that is anything but ordinary, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm good, man. I feel like my summer was like fast, 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 fast. And then now that we're past the wedding with my daughter's, ceremony and all the hubbub out of the way, like I'm finally like this is the time to like just kind of so I'm with you on the, having more time, being at home a little more often, those kinds of things. 'Cause especially like with 4th of July coming up, I like that this year is probably the first year I have no plans. So whoever calls and goes, "Hey, we're doing a thing," that I could go, "Yeah, I can make that," because normally there's something going on or we're out of town or whatever.
We used to take the kids to see fireworks. So obviously that was the big thing. And every year we try to find a different place, because to see the fireworks, they usually shoot them off on the Willamette River, like downtown Portland, and or even in Vancouver. We went one year to Vancouver, just over the river, Vancouver, Washington, to see the fireworks there as well, which is always fun. But now, all the kids are adults and they're doing their own thing, and obviously they don't care about going to see fireworks anymore. We just try to keep the animals at peace, obviously, especially our dog, because fireworks start going off and the animals freak out. So, in our neighborhood. So yeah, that's kind of our 4th of July. But we won't do it. I mean, we probably have a cookout or something like that, but no huge plans. Maybe a movie, something like that.
My son hates fireworks, just the loudness, and our neighbors are, partiers when it comes to that. But I will say I'm a little spoiled because where we live, we're close enough to the park that one of the big festivities with like the really expensive fireworks is right within walking distance of our house. So every year we just literally go to the edge of our driveway and just set up a lounge chair and watch them. And then we don't have to worry about parking. We're home, 2 seconds after it's done. Like if it was, a really hot, steamy night, we have big windows in the front of the house so we could just open the drapes and just stand there. Like we're kind of spoiled when it comes to fireworks every year.
And so our neighborhood's not even so much fireworks. It's just like they set off M80s or something like that, just the big boom, and they're like, "Oh, come on, guys, really?"
And it's after
It's like,
everyone else in bed. Like it's like
yeah,
midnight. And
exactly.
it's like, when do you
It's like,
sleep?
guys, come on, enough, And you can tell we're getting older too. Like when you're a kid, like you didn't care, but now, I need to go to sleep. I got to go to work in the morning or whatever it is, So,
When I was a
totally. I
kid,
totally get that.
I was that dumb kid that was taking like, metal cans and lighting a firecracker and watching it, go up in the air, or, lighting the bottle rocket in my hand and then throwing it, which please, children, do not do that. It pops right before besides your ear, or, you throw it and it zigzags. It's like, oh, the things we did, and I'm so thankful social media wasn't around to capture it.
Yeah, that's so true. Did the same thing. We had the little, I mean, we didn't have any like major fireworks, but we had like a little maybe 2, 3 inch fireworks, you light it, long fuse, light it in our hand. And just like it, let's watch the fuse, and then just throw it, and just stand back and like hear it pop. And then not anything like too loud or anything like that. But
If our
kids will
mothers
be
only
kids.
knew.
Well, my mom knew. She used to hear it, and she didn't. I mean, we were boys, right? The three of us. So she didn't really care. The only time she cared was when she was trying to, because my mom worked a graveyard shift. As a cardiac care nurse, so she sometimes be sleeping, while we're doing our fireworks thing, and so we had to be cognizant. Oh, mommy's sleeping right now, so let's go to Anthony's house, who lived about 4 or 5 houses up the street from us, and so we'd go and do that or something like that. So, and those are fun times, man.
Well, and typically too, like I know with our family, you know, if we do stuff, it's usually early enough in the day, and knowing that our neighbors are going to be shooting fireworks well after midnight, I don't even try to go to bed on time. Like I'm just laying there listening to them. Like, well, I could either get up and watch them, or, you know, put on a movie, or, you know, drop a needle, enjoy some music, something. Maybe this year I'll be the soundtrack. So as my neighbors are firing and I'm off, you know, I'll do dun 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 dun, psh, you know, like I'll just, you know, add some military sound effects there.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just looking forward to that. I think we're going to just go on our deck, do a little cookout, maybe invite some friends over and just chill.
Yeah.
And I get to enjoy, because usually I'm not here on 4th of July. I'm usually overseas. So looking forward to that this year. All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday, Friday edition. Grab your Bibles or break it open God's Word for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, the wah.
Yep. Also, it's the side of the keyboard most don't get, like, you don't tickle the ivories all the way down there unless you're soloing. So I love this vibe because it's just that high end.
Yeah, and then mix it like the piano sound with the synth sounds too. Obviously, those are fake horns, right? So it's like got this. Yeah, you got the synth and the piano kind of blending together there.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice little groove right underneath it.
Yeah, like Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott, Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
All that.
Yep, yep, exactly. Just kind of a grooving bass line there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just very, like, you know, kind of like a summer evening kind of vibe, you know?
Definitely a summer vibe for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. And this is something you can like rap over too. Like if you know if you're,
go ahead, feel like free.
No. I'm definitely not a rapper, man. That's for sure.
We need Marcus.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, Dr. Marcus Peter was a professional rapper and musician.
Yeah.
You know, when he was in Malaysia, so. We still got to get our band together, man. That'd be so much fun.
It's coming.
Yep, yep. One of these days, that's for sure.
That's it.
I'm Deacon Halberg. So is listening to Beacon of Truth, and this is a special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends, or break it open God's Word for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Got some great summer reading material for you. If you check out the religious catalog, always a great way to shop Catholic when you go to ewtnrc.com. There's a great book, The American Book of Fables by Matthew Meehan. And of course, it's just a collection, originals, adapted fables, things that tell you about stories of lions and tigers and buffaloes and eagles. And it's just, you know, it's a cool book. If you're trying to get your kids excited about summer reading, this could top that list. Easy, of course, to find when you shop. And of course, orders $75 or more are free when you use the code word free at check out. Just shop ewtnrc.com.
All right, my friends, this is typically the time for the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth, where we break open God's Word in the Psalms. You know, we take a look at the Psalms as they relate to the readings at Mass. But today, since it's a special Word of God Wednesday, Friday edition, we're going to take a look at all of the readings. And then in the next part of the show, I'll do some thoughts, some reflections on the readings. But let's take a look at the readings themselves. Some awesome readings for this Sunday again. And you'll see this very clearly. The theme is faithfulness to God. So the first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 4. And it says, Elisha came to Shunem. So, of course, Elisha was the apprentice of the prophet Elijah. And, of course, Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And Elijah also gave him his mantle. And then he was taken up to heaven in the chariot. And then Elisha was left to be the prophet following Elijah. So now we see that Elisha comes to Shunem. where there was a woman of influence, and he said, "Oh, Elisha is here." You know, obviously he had a reputation at this point, and of course they heard of him, and she was again a woman of influence, so she invited him to dinner. And afterward, whenever he would come by through that town, he used to stop there and dine. So it was wonderful. They became friends. You know, it's kind of like at the parish having the priest over. You know, how often do we invite our priests over for dinner in our house? You know, we just think, oh, Father's so busy, you know, doesn't have time. But remember, he's the father of our parish family. And I tell you, I stay with enough priests when I'm traveling to know that often they spend a lot of time by themselves. They spend a lot of time alone. And so just think about that. You know, invite a priest over to dinner every once in a while. It's a nice way to thank them for their ministry and for their fatherhood and leading our parish family. And so again, Elisha and this woman become friends. And so whenever she was there, you know, she would invite him over. And so she said to her husband, "I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. And since he visits us often, let's arrange a little room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed and a chair and a lamp." So it's how wonderful, how hospitable this family is, you know. So the woman befriends him, and her and her husband decide to make a little room for him so he can not just have dinner there, but he can also stay there with them, you know, like in the guest room. You know, going to create a guest room for him, which I think was really nice. And so Elisha arrived, and he ended up staying the night in that room that they set up for him. And so Elisha says, "Can anything be done for her?" He's saying to the servant who lives in the house. He says to the servant, "Can anything be done? In other words, is there anything that they need? Is there anything I can do to show my thankfulness for their hospitality and for their friendship, you know, and for the wonderful things that they've done?" And the servant of the house says, "Oh yeah, you know, they have no son, and the husband's getting on in years. So Elisha said, "Call her." And so when the woman came, he said, "This time next year, you'll be fondling a baby son." Wow, how powerful that faithfulness to God. You know, so we see here in this beautiful first reading from 2 Kings that not just hospitality, but faithfulness. You know, she and her husband, this woman and her husband, recognized Elisha was a man of God, invited him not only to eat, but to stay at their place, not asking for anything in return. Notice that they didn't ask for rent or for, you know, for anything like that. They just wanted to show wonderful hospitality to this beautiful man of God. And so he intercedes for them, and it says, you know, husband's getting on, they have no son. And again, not that they didn't necessarily be grateful with a son or a daughter, but of course the son carries forward the lineage of the family, right? And so that's the idea here. And so Elisha promises her that this time next year they'll be holding a son. How beautiful is that? Again, response to faithfulness to God. The psalm is Psalm 89. Psalm 89 is the last psalm in Book 3, Psalms 73 to 89. And 89 is written by Etan. So in Book 3 of the Psalms, Psalms 73 to 83 are Asaph, 84, 85, 87, and 88 are the sons of Korah, 86 is David, 88 is also, I think the sons of Korah wrote that Psalm 88 and then gave it, to one of the Ezraites to put music to. So there are two Ezraites mentioned in the Psalms, in Book 3 of the Psalms, Heman and Etan. So remember, the Ezraites are a clan within the tribe of Levi. So 88 was Heman. Heman means faithful. Heman was also the son of Joel and the grandson of the prophet Samuel. And his surname was the singer. And then 89, this psalm that we're looking at today that's part of the readings, is by Ethan in English. His name means firm, lasting, solid, permanent. He's the son of Cushiah. And again, you can see a listing of all of these members of the Musical Guild of the Jewish Temple, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, right? So 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 16 to 22. So it says, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." That's the refrain. He says, "The promises of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations, my mouth shall proclaim his faithfulness. For you have said, my kindness is established forever. In heaven have you confirmed your faithfulness." Right? So beautiful there. Again, what's the theme that, of the reading say? Fidelity and faithfulness to God. And so when God is faithful to us, again, this is something we need to share with others. Our faith, and we've said this many times, our faith is a gift that should be given away. Our faith should be something that should be shared with others. We need to witness the power of God's love to everyone within our sphere of influence. So whether we're a husband or a housewife or an attorney or an accountant or a physician or a school teacher or engineer or bus driver, it doesn't matter. Wherever our sphere of influence, we need to recognize God's faithfulness in our lives to share that witness with others. So that's what that psalm basically is covering here with what Eitan is writing about in this particular psalm. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 6. It goes, "Are you unaware that you were baptized into Christ Jesus? You were baptized into his death?" Right? And so we see, in baptism, we enter into the tomb with Christ. And then after being baptized, we come out of that water. We are our new creation. We have risen to new life with Christ. And it emphasizes again, he says, we're baptized into his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. If we have died with Christ, we should also live with Christ. So it shows the power of baptism as a way of entering into this relationship of love and intimacy. Again, by entering into the tomb with Christ, dying to our old life, dying to original sin, and rising to new life in Christ as new creation with the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit now infused into our souls, right? Because remember, baptism is one of the sacraments that leaves an indelible mark on our souls. So this is what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that Jesus died to sin once for all. As to life, he lives for God. And so should we, right? The whole point Jesus was saying is he came to do the Father's will. And so we have to do the Father's will in our lives as well to fulfill our purpose, our reason for existing, knowing that we have the strength of the Holy Spirit in baptism to help us to fulfill God's plan. Because remember, God often tries to fulfill his plan and his will through us. He uses us, his followers. Yes, as broken and as sinful as we are, God can still use us for his glory when we cooperate with the grace that he's given us and when we say yes to his invitation to enter into a lifelong union of love and intimacy. And then this is year A. And year A focuses on readings from Matthew's gospel. So we have Matthew chapter 10 for our gospel reading today. Jesus, of course, is having a dialogue with his apostles. And this is very powerful words of Jesus, which we'll get into more in the next part of the show. "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now, imagine hearing that. You're sitting there, you're listening to Jesus. He's saying this to his apostles, but there were also disciples that were gathered around him. "If you don't love your father and mother more than me, you are not worthy of me." Wow. Well, I was looking forward to diving into these readings in just a few minutes here. Again, Word of God Wednesday, Friday edition. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
It's like celebration. Like your favorite team coming out onto the field.
Yep.
Woo!
doubling that line there. That's nice.
Right?
This is crazy funky here. Nice.
This is another summer feel good too.
Oh, definitely.
Windows down.
You got those big old speakers in the car. Right there, boom, boom. You know that. There's no 808 drop in this one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's still definitely funky enough to get people's attention when you're driving down the street.
Is it still cool to like have your car bounce?
No, I think that's played out now, man. Okay. That's back in the day.
That was a thing. All right.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah.
My Corolla couldn't handle it, so I never did it. So.
We had a We had a Ford Fairmont, is what my mom drove.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a station wagon, and the blue. It was a light blue or powder blue station wagon, and then my mom had the red Ford Fairmont. That's a car that I learned to drive on, by the way.
Mm.
You know, speaking of summer, you know, my birthday's in the summer, and so it was exciting to go and get my driver's license, or actually get my permit first and then start driving in that car.
Yeah.
With my mom giving driving lessons and then going to get my license. And I mentioned this before. I came back from getting my license and I showed my mom, you know, I'm the first driver in our family and, you know, first kid. And she's very excited. She goes, okay, now you have to pass my driver's test.
Ooh.
I said, what? I said, I have my notes. She goes, no, you're not going to get this car to drive by yourself until you pass my driver's test. I said, okay. And so we drove on 1 and 9, which is a highway that led to the Holland Tunnel. Drove through the Holland Tunnel in Lower Manhattan. Drove through the Garment District. Drove over the Manhattan Bridge into Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Drove around and then came back. And so, I recognize the genius of that, because you got city driving, you got highway driving, you got bridges, you have tunnels, you have tolls, you have New York traffic. Scenario. You have, you know, impatient drivers. You know, you have drivers that are passing you too quickly. You know, you had that. I mean, like every scenario was in that. You know, 20-mile drive there and back is 20 miles total. And I was like, man, you know, I thought about the genius of that afterward.
No, that's great. We had the car I learned to drive on was my parents had bought a Caprice Classic, if you remember what that car looked like. It was a green, yep. It was a like pea green Sherman tank. That's what I used to call it.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, talk about cars that look like they should have bounced. This one at least should have had that. That would have been the only cool factor of this. So the fact that I was driving this around town, and then eventually my first car was, we had my mom's 77 Corolla, which we had had since 77. So it had lasted, you know, a few alternators later, it became mine. But I loved that car. Like, I changed the radio out like the first week, and just, you know, it was a forced, you know, it was a stick. So, you know, I had to change gears and get used to the clutch. But man, I loved that car.
Yeah, my first car was a brown Chevy Nova.
Oh, nice.
That was we got it from a friend of mine who I was in Boy Scouts with. Got his dad sold it to me, and it was, the bumper was held on by a clothes hanger, a metal clothes hanger, was holding on. I think it was the right bumper,
yeah,
a part of it. I mean, it wasn't like completely falling off, but
right.
But held in place by a wire. I remember driving that car. I was so excited, my very first car, you know, and I used to work as a busboy. And then a short order cook, my very first job after getting that car. I forget the name of the restaurant. It's no longer there now. But Route 22, right across, right across the highway from Rondo Music. That was a store I used to go to. Of course, that's not there anymore either. But that was a music store where I used to get strings and picks and, you know, all kinds of stuff from our band. I was talking about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, the garage band I planted during the summer. That's where we used to get all our music supplies from.
So cool.
Yeah. How awesome is that? I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Series listening to Beacon of Truth in a special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friend, so break it open, God's Word, for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
So So, of course, EWTN Radio celebrating the summer, but I wanted to ask you, Deacon, about today being the Feast of St. Jose Maria. Any reflections of your own heart that you have for this today?
One of the things that we should be thinking about is the power of God's love. And this was something I think that was very much embodied by this amazing saint.
Yeah. Well, and I know as, you know, we learn more about it, you know, that referred to as the saint of ordinary. So the ordinary lives that we live. So here we are talking today from a perspective of, you know, when we're in the place where it's like, well, what is God calling me to do? Well, serve him to your best in your ordinary moments, in your everyday today, because we oftentimes feel like it has to be big and flashy and new and all the things, right? But really it's in the sustaining faith, sustaining grace that you give to yourself, to others, you know, inviting the fact that you are okay in the ordinary. That's what keeps us close to God.
Yeah. And, you know, and most of life is just ordinary.
Right.
You know, when you think about St. Joseph, for example, right? I mean, he's mentioned a couple of times in the scriptures there, and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because most of his life was ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, he faithfully did all the things that God asked him to do without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of mention, without a lot of, you know, attention being drawn to him in the scriptures. Yet he played an incredibly critical and important role in salvation history.
Very cool. So if you want to find out more about the saint and, of course, any of the feast days, so St. Jose Maria, you can go to EWTN.com.
Yeah, love that. All right, my friends, grab your Bibles and break it open with God's Word for this special Friday edition of Word of God Wednesday for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme definitely here is fidelity and faithfulness to God. All right, and so we hear today in Matthew chapter 10, very powerful words of Jesus. I mean, the opening words of the gospel, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Like, wow. Imagine sitting there and hearing these words from Jesus. You know, like, wait a minute, what are you talking about right now? And think about how powerful that is. Remember, think about, they would have been thinking about the fourth commandment, right? Which is honor your father and your mother, which is a, and we've mentioned this before, it's a hinge commandment. And so, you know, Jesus talks about the love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So you would think that, okay, love God is commandments 1 through 3. Love your neighbor as yourself is commandments 4 through 10. But the thing is, the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, are both love God and love your neighbor as yourself, because it's the only commandment that comes with a promise that you may have long life in the land that I am giving you. You know, it's the only commandment that comes with a promise. And so to think then that such a powerful commandment, you know, Jesus says, you know, if you don't love me more than your own father, your own mother, your own siblings, if you don't take up your cross, I mean, because again, they wouldn't understand what crucifixion was. If you don't take up your cross and follow me, not worthy of me. It's like, wait, what? That would have sounded a little confusing to them. But let's put this within context. You know, the prophet Micah says in chapter 7, he says, put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So we see here, you know, Jesus in Matthew's gospel kind of, in a sense here, fulfilling or reminding his listeners, the apostles in this case, of the words of Micah, you know, of the prophet Micah here. Again, very, very powerful way to start off this gospel, you know, and Jesus continues, you know, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will find it. again, I just and the juxtaposition here. If you lose your life, you'll find it. If you save your life, you'll lose it. You know, if you don't love father and mother more, you're not worthy of me. It seems to be some interesting parallels that the Lord is drawing here. He says, "Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me," which of course is God the Father. "Whoever receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." Remember going back to the first reading, right? From 2 Kings, you know, and the reward that the family received because of their kindness to the prophet Elisha. They receive a prophet's reward. "Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous receives a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." So, these very powerful words of Jesus here. So let's dive into this a little bit. So, the Lord here in the gospel could not be clearer. We are to love him, God, and his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, more than we love anyone or anything else. This is why I always say the top priority on our life should be number one, relationship with God. Number two, if you're married, you know, your relationship with your spouse. And then three, everything else after that. You know? Why? Because if we're not right with God, we're no good to our families. We're no good to our calling, our vocation, our mission in life, if we don't put God first above anyone or anything else. Now, this is a cause for tension here, right? So Jesus is saying there is to be no person or thing, possession that we have in our life that has greater importance than the Lord. So fundamental is the priority of our love and obedience to the Lord, to Jesus, that it eclipses even the most fundamental relationships in our family. Our love and honor for our parents, as we talked about in the fourth commandment, is very important, right? But yet, even our family bonds cannot overrule the most fundamental of all the commandments, which is the first. "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." Right? So even the love and respect owed to parents and the love that parents should have for their children cannot be preferred to the love and obedience that we owe to God. Right? So if a son or a daughter, even while still a minor, were to hear a parent instructing him or her to disregard a clear teaching or a commandment of God, the child would have to respond, "Sorry, mom, sorry, dad, but I love God more. I cannot obey your authority on this." Right? Wow. You know, and this has even practical implications as well. I mean, think about a young man or a young woman who believes they have a religious vocation from God. But the parents want grandkids. You know, I remember once speaking at a seminary, and during the Q&A session, I specifically asked, I said, I'm just curious, you know, since I'm talking to a room full of seminarians here, I said, "Who was the biggest inhibitor to your vocation?" And one young man raised his hand and said, "Well, my parents." And I thought he misheard me. I said, "No, I said inhibitor. I mean, someone that that is discouraging you from your vocation to the priesthood." And the young man said, "No, that would be my parents." And I said, "I thought parents were supposed to encourage you in your, especially if you had a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, that your parents should encourage you." And he said, "Well, my parents want grandkids." You know, and I said, "Wow. So how'd you respond to that?" And he says to us, he said that he told his parents, "You should have had more kids." Like, ooh, wow, what a powerful response, right? So he chose his vocation to the Lord over even his parents' wishes for him to leave the seminary and to have a family, you know, because he was following God even more than his parents' requests or wishes. This is what the Lord is talking about today, you know. And the same is true for any other relationship. If a spouse, a sibling, or a boss at work, or a government official were to try to compel us to act contrary to God's truth and God's commands, the answer must always be the same. I'm sorry, but I cannot comply. I love God more. Even if I suffer at your hands as a result, I cannot and will not comply. You know, so this reminds me, you know, I think we talked about this earlier this month, you know, that this June, of course, is the month for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, so we have the Immaculate, we have Mary, right, which is for May, and we have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is for June, you know, and so we've already celebrated the beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, and so that's what this month is for. But we live in a culture that says this month is for something else. It's a pride month, you know, and so remember, pride is one of the deadly sins, you know, as one of the vices, you know, and so so you may be at work and they're, you know, compelling you to put, you know, a rainbow flag on your desk or something like that. And you can't comply with that. What, you know, what I would do, I would say, you know what, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to celebrate people. But the thing is this, I have dignity and respect for every single person, and not just, you know, for a particular month, but every single day of the year. I have the same dignity and respect for every single human being, you know, and I don't need a month or I don't need a symbol in order to treat every single person with the dignity and respect that they deserve. So you know what? I'm not going to put that on my desk because I don't need to celebrate anything. I treat everybody the same all year round. No, you know, I don't need a particular month or a holiday or anything special. I just, and so thank you, but no thank you would be my reply to that. I mean, what do they expect for like Black History Month? You put a, you know, you put a picture of Martin Luther King on your desk, or for Italian month, you put a plate of pasta, or for some other month. I mean, no, look, we got to get past this. You know, we treat every single person the same, so we don't need symbols, you know, or virtue signaling, you know, in order to show where we stand on a particular issue. We stand with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You know, so the love of Jesus, who is Lord, supersedes every other love and respect and honor due to others, be they persons or philosophies or nations or political parties. You shall love the Lord your God with this, the Shema prayer in Deuteronomy. It says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God, not your political party, not your philosophy, not even your country. More than, I'm not saying don't have pride for your country wherever you may reside. But again, I'm saying that the love of God should always come first as the first and major influence in our entire life. So truth be told, though, many Christians often have a greater alliance to politics or to their careers or to the opinions of others in general than to the Lord and his church. Many prefer, you know, let's be real, you know, many prefer worldly thinking to what the church teaches. Yeah, you know, I'm against abortion, but I can't tell other people what to do, you know, with their bodies, that kind of thing. So it's okay for you to personally be opposed to abortion, but it's okay for other people to kill their own children. That's like slavery, you know, like, well, I'm against slavery, but if someone else wants slaves, you know, who am I to tell them what to do with? Oh, come on. Slavery is wrong no matter what the circumstance or situation. Human trafficking today, same thing. Abortion, same thing. Those are objective, grave, moral wrongs that are always wrong. And so, you know, we can't say I am personally opposed to, but there is no buts, you know, when it comes to issues like these. We cannot prefer worldly thinking to the mind of Christ and the teachings of his church. You know, so many of us cave in and compromise to what others demand of them in order to ingratiate ourselves or simply go with the flow. We talked about this before. You know, that's the same thing. You have to go with the flow. And I've mentioned a couple of times on the show here that, you know, having grown up in the city, being, you know, a city kid, and now living in Oregon, you know, we have rivers and mountains and lakes, all kinds of beautiful stuff here. You know, I've been paying more attention to nature, and I noticed that rivers, you know, flow, especially during the summer, the melt off, when the snow is melting and the rivers are running high and fast. You know, going with the flow could get you killed. You know, because I noticed that dead things go with the flow. Like you're in the river, and as you get me hit by a log or by a dead animal that's floating down the river, especially when the river's running high and fast. You know, but who fight against the flow? Salmon. You know, salmon leave the ocean, they go back to the stream, to the tributary, where they were born to lay their eggs, to spawn, and then to die. You know, so they fight against the stream, they fight against the flow, they fight against the current. And so, you know, we need to be like the salmon. We need to go against the flow of the culture so we can keep God first in our lives. So silencing the gospel is never a recipe for true and lasting peace in our lives. We all fall short when we water down Jesus's message that empties the gospel of its power. So marriage, gender, abortion, euthanasia, all these kinds of issues, we cannot water them down and empty the gospel of its power and its meaning. So Jesus speaks strongly and says that people who compromise are not worthy of me. So that word is axios in Greek, which is related to weights and scales. So that implies that something weighing as much or more than something else, right? That's kind of that's the etymology of the word there. So the concept of being worthy of the Lord is that we must place a greater weight or a greater weightiness or worthiness on our life with the Lord rather than the things of the culture. See, so the balance, so it's not an equal balance. No. We have to put more weight on the scale when it comes to our relationship with the Lord and putting him first. That's weightier. Our relationship with him is weightier than all the other things in our lives. So the Lord paints a picture for us to show that if we love anyone or anything more than we love him, the scales are tipped in the wrong direction. And we are not assigning enough weight or worth to Jesus. And so, as Jesus says, we are not worthy of him.
Yeah, and these readings also remind me, you know, when we are our weakest, that's when we are closest to God, because we're learning that we have to rely on him for all things.
Yes, everything. No matter what it is in our life, we have to rely on the Lord. Now, again, the temptation is to think, okay, I have this situation. How can I fix it?
Right.
Or how can this other person fix it? And but we need to think first. I'm not saying not to do that, but our first thought should be, how is God going to help me fix this?
Yeah.
You know, how do I bring God into the picture? You know, this is just a very simple way of keeping God first in our lives, even when it comes to difficult moments in our lives.
Yeah. And I think it also, I know for me at least, is I got to remind myself to get out of my own way, because I oftentimes am either trying to fix it myself or come up with my own solution without consulting him first, or I'm so focused on the original plan that I can't see past it. And so I have to like back up and say, all right, you're your own obstacle.
Yeah, and we can't even let ourselves get in the way of that relationship with the Lord, you know, because the Lord says, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. But we also cannot put ourselves in a situation of being more important than the Lord.
Yep.
You know, we always have to rely on him in humility and love to allow him to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives.
So true.
Yeah, I love that. You know, last little thought here, you know, like the psalm says, let us sing forever of the Lord's goodness and mercy. Let us always walk in the light of his face and find our joy every day in his holy name. All right, my friends. Well, next week, we're going to go back to our series that we haven't talked about in a while, Jesus on Tour. This time is going to be in Sychar. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.